In the grim darkness of the far future, power is as perilous as it is absolute. On a million worlds across the Imperium of Man, planetary governors rule as virtual kings by the Emperor's will. They command vast armies and oversee billions of souls. Their palaces scrape the skies of hive cities. Their decrees shape the fate of continents. Yet, for all their pomp and authority, each governor lives under the long shadow of a higher, unforgiving power. All it takes is a whisper of heresy or a whiff of treachery, and the Emperor's most dreaded instrument, the Inquisition, will intervene. When the Inquisition turns its gaze upon a planetary governor, it unleashes a chain of events as uncompromising and inevitable as the coming of night, a process that can unmake a ruler and upheave an entire world. A planetary governor's role in the Imperium is one of immense responsibility and privilege. By ancient decree, the governor is the Emperor's vassal, entrusted to govern a world in his name. In practice, this means near total autonomy over local affairs. As long as the planet's obligations to the Imperium are met, its imperial taxes and tithes paid, its quotas of troops and resources delivered, its populace kept compliant in the imperial creed, a governor may rule in whatever manner they see fit. They raise and command the Planetary Defense Force, the local army that defends the world from invasion or rebellion. They enforce imperial law and ensure that psykers, mutants, and deviants are kept under strict control or purged. They preside over courts, administrate trade and industry, and uphold the worship of the Emperor as the one true faith. In feudal fashion, they are often addressed as Lord or Lady, and their position often becomes hereditary, passing power down through dynasties. Within the boundaries of a single planet, a governor's word is law. Many live as monarchs in opulence and authority, believing themselves beyond challenge, at least by any local force. Yet this considerable freedom comes with a dire condition, unwavering loyalty and service to the wider Imperium. A planetary governor holds power only at the Imperium's pleasure. Each governor is sworn to be the Emperor's servant, bound by oath and law to support his realm. Their foremost duties include maintaining order and loyalty among their population and providing the Imperium with what it demands. Should a governor fail in these duties, whether through negligence, incompetence, or willful betrayal, they invite the scrutiny of greater powers. The High Lords of Terra and their agents do not easily forgive dereliction. In a star-spanning empire where billions can perish in a single day of war, the fate of one world's ruler is insignificant against the balance of the Imperium. A governor who falls short of imperial expectations can be removed quietly or forcefully, and replaced as swiftly as one flicks away an insect. To enforce this grand order, the Imperium relies on organizations that operate above any planet's local authority. Chief among them is the Adeptus Arbites, the Imperium's ruthless law enforcers, and the Inquisition, its secretive watchdog and ultimate sanction. The Adeptus Arbites maintain fortified courthouses on many worlds, often looming within the capital city as a stark reminder of imperial law. These black-armored arbitrators have the mandate to uphold the Lex Imperialis, the laws of the Imperium itself, indifferent to any local customs or edicts. They answer not to the governor, but directly to Terra, and they are empowered to arrest or execute even the highest officials if imperial law is broken. If a planetary governor were to defy the Imperium's laws, say by withholding the Emperor's tithe or impeding the Imperial cult, the Arbites could declare martial law and haul that governor from their throne in chains. Indeed, history records that arbitrators have on occasion removed corrupt or treasonous governors, dragging them to summary judgment. The presence of an Arbites precinct fortress on a world is both a safeguard and a threat. a safeguard for the Imperium's interest, and a threat to any governor who imagines themselves above the rule of distant Terra. Above even the Arbites, however, stands the Inquisition, the Emperor's most feared instrument. The Inquisition is not a single organization, but a constellation of agents collectively entrusted with a singular mission: to protect humanity and the Imperium from the gravest of threats, no matter where they arise. Inquisitors operate with near limitless authority. They answer only to the Emperor, and in theory, to the mysterious Council of the High Lords. In all matters of heresy, corruption, and existential danger, an Inquisitor's word is the Emperor's will. If a lone Inquisitor arrives on a world bearing the Inquisitorial seal, they carry the weight of the Imperium's ultimate sanction. A planetary governor, no matter how powerful within their own domain, is expected to yield completely to an Inquisitor's authority. To defy an Inquisitor is not merely foolish. It is treason of the highest order. It is said that when an Inquisitor presents their rosette and declares their purpose, they can demand any resource or compliance from the local authorities, and it must be given without hesitation. Guardsmen, Arbites, Adepts, even Space Marines, and Imperial Navy ships present in-system may all fall under an Inquisitor's command in pursuit of their investigation. The Inquisition's mandate is broad. It is divided into ordos, each focusing on a particular category of threat. The Ordo Hereticus deals with internal heresy, mutants, unsanctioned psykers, and those who stray from the Imperial Creed. The Ordo Xenos confronts alien influences, whether open invasions or insidious infestations like Genestealer cults. The Ordo Malleus combats the demonic horrors of chaos and the cults that worship them. Regardless of specialty, any Inquisitor can act against a planetary governor if circumstances demand. The Inquisition exists in part to root out rot within the Imperium's own ranks, the enemy within that could weaken humanity from inside. Gross incompetence, betrayal, heresy, or association with forbidden powers by a high official all fall squarely within the Inquisition's purview. A governor gone astray is exactly the sort of danger the Inquisition was created to eliminate. What sort of circumstances would trigger an inquisitorial intervention against a planetary governor? In the vast majority of Imperial worlds, life and governance proceed without ever drawing such dire attention. The Imperium is simply too large for the Inquisition to scrutinize each planet routinely. Instead, red flags must be raised, signs of trouble that filter up through the layers of Imperial administration or by reports from concerned parties. One common trigger is heresy in one of its myriad forms. Perhaps the Adeptus Ministorum, the Imperial Church, reports that the governor has been lax in enforcing the Imperial Creed, allowing heretical sects or blasphemous practices to fester among the populace. Rumors might reach a cardinal that the governor himself dabbles in proscribed beliefs or has expressed apostasy against the God Emperor. Such whispers are enough to warrant discreet investigation. Similarly, the detection of forbidden rituals, chaos cults, or witchcraft on a planet will draw the eye of the Ordo Hereticus. If these cults are thriving, the question arises: has the planetary governor been negligent, or worse, complicit? Another major alarm is any hint of trafficking with alien powers. The Imperium tolerates no alliance or concession to Xenos. If intelligence from the Officio Assassinorum or Imperial Navy suggests a governor is trading resources to a Xenos Empire or harboring alien ambassadors in secret, the Ordo Xenos may dispatch an agent to verify these claims. History provides a stark example: the infamous case of the desert world of Taros. Its planetary governor, lured by promises of technology and prosperity, began secretly negotiating with the expansionist To Empire. Over years, he diverted material from Imperial Tithe and allowed To representatives to establish influence on his world. When the deception was uncovered in late M41, it set off alarms at the highest levels. The Inquisition and the Departamento Munitorum declared the governor a traitor. The eventual consequence was not a quiet investigation, but a full military intervention, a sanctioned space marine strike to eliminate the treacherous governor and reclaim the world. The Taro's campaign that followed was long and bloody, proving how grave the sin of collusion with Xenos can become. In the end, the governor's betrayal cost him his life and lost his planet to alien occupation, an outcome that only hardened the Imperium's resolve that such treason must be stamped out before it can spread. Beyond heresy and Xenos dealings, more mundane failures can also draw inquisitorial attention when they reach extreme levels. A governor who consistently fails to meet the planet's tithe of soldiers and materiel without credible cause will draw suspicion. The Administratum might first levy sanctions or send auditors, but if evidence emerges of willful misappropriation, such as hoarding resources to build a personal power base, this shades into outright treachery. The Adeptus Arbites on world might attempt to enforce corrections, but an entrenched, recalcitrant governor could require heavier intervention. Likewise, severe and persistent civil unrest can be a red flag. The Imperium is vast and unrest is not uncommon, but if a world strife veers toward open rebellion or prolonged insurrection, it suggests the governor has lost control or perhaps is himself instigating separatist ambitions. Rebellions may have many origins. To a bureaucrat, they are a matter of quelling disorder. But to an inquisitor, they often signal deeper corruption. Where a planetary governor sees only a revolt of malcontents to be crushed, an inquisitor will ask what or who fueled this uprising. Chaos, cult influence. Xenos, corruption. A failure of faith that might hint at heresy. It is often in these dire scenarios when an imperial world teeters on the edge that the Inquisition steps from the shadows to determine the truth and pass judgment. When suspicion has taken root, the process of inquisitorial intervention begins with gathering information. Rarely does an inquisitor swoop in unannounced without some preliminary inquiries. These inquiries can start subtly. The Inquisition maintains a vast network of informants, agents, and allies across the galaxy. On many worlds, the local Adeptus Arbites, missionaries, or even lowly administratum clerks might report anomalies to their superiors, which eventually filter to an inquisitor's attention. Astropathic messages, encrypted communiques from off-world, may reach an inquisitorial conclave, flagging a particular planet for investigation. Perhaps a routine inspection by the Departamento Munitorum noted missing munitions shipments, or a visiting inquisitor passing through, heard troubling rumors in the court of a nearby governor. Once the seed of doubt is planted, an inquisitor will decide whether to intervene and how openly to do so. In some cases, a lone inquisitor arrives covertly on the planet, using guile and subterfuge before revealing their hand. These are the times when a stranger might appear in the underhive or even in the governor's court, asking questions in the guise of a minor official or off-world trader. The inquisitor and their retinue can move in the shadows, confirming whether the suspicions have merit. They might infiltrate a cult cell to gather proof of the governor's connection, or quietly interrogate a mid-level bureaucrat about irregular orders coming from the governor's palace. The advantage of this clandestine approach is that it avoids alerting the possibly corrupt governor too soon. If the governor is indeed guilty of heresy or conspiracy, giving them advance warning might allow them to destroy evidence, flee, or even lash out violently. A careful inquisitor will prefer to catch the traitor unawares. However, not all inquisitors favor subtlety. Many interventions are direct and unmistakable, An Inquisitor might arrive aboard a black-hulled frigate that translates from the warp without warning, bearing Inquisitorial sigils on its hull. The Governor's astropath will suddenly receive a chilling message. An agent of the Holy Ordos is en route. Picture a scene. The planetary governor is hosting a dinner among nobles when a whispered report causes all color to drain from his face. Inquisitorial cutter on approach, my lord. In such moments, the shock and fear that ripple through the elite are profound. The governor has little choice but to prepare an immediate and obsequious welcome. Landing pads are cleared, honor guards hastily assembled, and the governor waits with a forced smile and pounding heart to greet the Inquisitor. When the Inquisition intervenes overtly, formalities might be observed for the sake of appearances. But the relationship is clear. The Inquisitor holds the higher authority. If the Inquisitor arrives under the guise of courtesy, they may initially behave as a guest while issuing pointed requests. For example, an Inquisitor may politely request a private audience with the governor and the planet's high officials. Attended, perhaps, by a few of their acolytes, the Inquisitor will take the measure of the man or woman before them. In that meeting, beneath the veneer of civil conversation, a dangerous game begins. The Inquisitor might ask probing questions. Has your planet experienced any unusual cult activity of late, Governor? Certain concerns have been raised. The Governor's answers and body language will be studied intently. A truthful, loyal governor would likely express alarm and immediately pledge full cooperation to root out any threat. A guilty or fearful governor might prevaricate, deflect blame, or betray anxiety. Inquisitors are expert interrogators. Even in casual dialogue, they sift lies from truth with cold precision. During this initial phase, the Inquisitor usually demands unfettered access to the planet's resources and records. They will likely station themselves in the planetary capital, perhaps even within the governor's palace or at a nearby Arbites fortress, and declare their investigation underway. The governor is expected to comply absolutely. Any hesitation, failing to turn over administratum data, for instance, or to allow the Inquisitor's agents into a secure facility, raises red flags. In many documented instances, a wise governor under scrutiny goes to great lengths to demonstrate cooperation, throwing open their archives, granting the Inquisitor's retinue full run of government offices, and putting the Planetary Defense Force on standby to assist if needed. Outwardly, all is deference to the seal of the Inquisition, but human nature and fear can complicate matters. If the governor truly has something to hide, their cooperation may be a facade while behind the scenes they scramble to cover their tracks. Secret orders might quietly go out to destroy certain documents or silence particular witnesses. Loyal aides may be dispatched on urgent leave, in truth, spirited away or eliminated to prevent their testimony. A corrupt governor might even begin plotting the unthinkable. Armed resistance to the Inquisitor's prying, if it comes to that. The Inquisition is well aware of these ploys. Thus, even as they present demands openly, Inquisitors often continue discreet surveillance in parallel. They may have additional undercover operatives observing the governor's courtiers or tapping into Vox communications. It is not uncommon for an Inquisitor to employ the local Adeptus Mechanicus tech priests to assist in scanning cogitator data stacks for incriminating evidence, or to bring in a sanctioned psyker to quietly scour the minds of key individuals for traces of guilt. The methods of investigation span everything from the mundane to the arcane. Ledgers are audited, AuSpex devices sweep for hidden compartments in the governor's mansion, servitors methodically search tunnels and hab blocks for secret gatherings. Interrogation servitors and truth drugs stand ready to be used on anyone the Inquisitor deems suspicious. The political process of such an intervention can be delicate, at least initially. A planetary governor is an important imperial servant, and unless the evidence of guilt is already overwhelming, an Inquisitor may maintain a veneer of due process. This might mean convening a preliminary tribunal or inquiry panel, often staffed by the Inquisitor's own henchmen or allied officials, to give the appearance of a fair reckoning. Key members of the planet's administration could be summoned to give account. Imagine the governor's high administratum clerk trembling as he presents the planet's tithe records in front of a dour-faced inquisitor and an arbitrator judge. The figures don't add up. Resources are missing. The inquisitor's questions come sharp and cold. By what means did you fulfill the quota of Las Gunpowder Packs last year when our sources report a shortfall from your manufactoria? The clerk glances nervously at the governor before stammering an excuse. Such scenes heighten the tension. The governor might attempt to maintain a front of confidence, intervening with smooth assurances. There must be a mistake in the paperwork. We shall double-check all data for the Inquisition, of course. But the Inquisitor is not fooled. Every word is measured. As the investigation deepens, the grip of the Inquisition on the planet tightens. The impact on the governor's administration is immediate and profound. Officials who once answered only to the governor now find themselves subject to summary questioning by robed interrogators and armored arbitrators. The upper echelons of government are often paralyzed with fear and uncertainty. Each morning may bring news that another minister or general in the governor's court has been quietly taken into custody by the Inquisitor's agents. Whispers and paranoia infect the halls of power. Who among us has spoken with the investigators? Who might be secretly informing on others? Loyal aides who sense the governor's guilt may begin distancing themselves, hoping to save their own skins by cooperating with the Inquisition. Others, fiercely bound by personal loyalty, dig in and conspire to obstruct the investigation, not realizing that by doing so, they sign their own death warrants. During this fraught period, the planet's security forces stand at a crossroads. The Planetary Defense Force, PDF, under the governor's nominal command, must choose whether to remain neutral, assist the Inquisition, or, in the worst case, follow the governor into defiance. Most PDF commanders are indoctrinated to ultimate loyalty to the Imperium, not merely to the person of the governor. Thus, many will obey an Inquisitor's orders without question, especially if the Inquisitor invokes emergency authority. The Inquisitor might order segments of the PDF to secure a spaceport, guard a particular site, or even stand down and confine themselves to barracks to prevent any interference. Meanwhile, the Adeptus Arbites certainly take an active role. The Arbites' elite enforcers may conduct raids at the Inquisitor's behest, storming a noble's estate at midnight to seize evidence or arrest a suspect linked to the governor's suspected crimes. These shock actions keep everyone off balance and demonstrate that the situation is deadly serious. For the planet's ordinary citizens, the intervention ushers in an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty. Initially, the general populace may not even know why the Inquisition has come, only that a figure of terrifying authority has arrived. Rumors race through marketplaces and manufactorum lines. Some say a witch was discovered in the governor's court. Others whisper that the Emperor's judgment is at hand. Many citizens react in the only way they know, with pious displays of loyalty. Turnout at temples and shrines surges as people pray fervently for the Emperor's protection and for any heretics to be exposed. At the same time, an undercurrent of panic takes hold. If curfews are imposed by Arbites patrols, or if the PDF erects checkpoints around the governor's palace, it is clear to all that something is terribly amiss at the highest levels. In extreme cases, where the intervention becomes a full-blown purge, civil order can break down temporarily. There might be rioting in the lower hab blocks. Some riots fueled by opportunists taking advantage of the chaos, others instigated by cultists or the governor's partisans hoping to create a diversion. The Inquisition typically reacts swiftly and harshly to any unrest. Armored Arbites crack down on rioters with shock mauls and suppression shields. PDF units loyal to the Imperium may deploy tanks on city streets to enforce martial law until the crisis is resolved. After days or weeks of tense inquiries, events reach a tipping point. The procedural investigation gives way to direct confrontation once the Inquisitor has gathered enough evidence, or once the Governor's evasion crosses into open defiance. It is at this juncture that the formal mask of neutrality falls, and the true gravity of the situation is laid bare. The Inquisitor will move to confront the Planetary Governor with the findings. At times, the moment of confrontation does not proceed peacefully. A particularly desperate governor might refuse to submit to arrest or judgment, and instead make a last gamble by force. There have been instances where, as inquisitorial agents moved to take the governor into custody, the governor's own palace guards opened fire in a bid to protect their liege. In that instant, the matter transforms into open battle. The Inquisitor's retinue and any Arbites or loyalist PDF present return fire, and the palace becomes a war zone. Such resistance is futile but can exact a bloody toll before it is quashed. The Inquisitor may have anticipated this outcome and arranged for backup, perhaps veteran stormtrooper squads or even a strike team of Adeptus Astartes waiting nearby to intervene. Within a short and brutal span, loyalist forces overwhelm the governor's last defenders. The aftermath of a firefight in the heart of governance is grim. Ornate halls shattered by bolter shells and scorched by flamer fire, the floor slick with the blood of those who dared take up arms against the Emperor's mandate. The governor, if not slain in the skirmish, will be dragged before the Inquisitor in chains through the smoke and ruin of what was once their seat of power. A violent last stand only ensures that the judgment to come is delivered amid the wreckage of the governor's pride. The final judgment scene is invariably dramatic, even in its formality. The Inquisitor, clad in a sigil-marked cloak or perhaps ornate power armor emblazoned with the Inquisition's emblem, stands as both prosecutor and judge. They will enumerate the charges in precise detail. By decree of the Holy Inquisition, you, Governor Name, are charged with willful heresy and high treason against the Golden Throne of Terra. Investigations have revealed your complicity in forbidden rituals and the deliberate deception of Imperial authorities. Testimony from your inner circle, as well as evidence seized from your private sanctum, establishes your guilt beyond doubt. Each word falls like a hammer in the silence of the chamber. Surrounded and outmaneuvered, the governor's reaction can vary. Some break down and beg, pathetically pleading that they acted only under duress or out of ignorance. Others explode in rage and denial, cursing the Inquisitor as an usurper or claiming false innocence that convinces no one. A few rare individuals maintain an icy composure, resigning themselves to fate with a final shred of dignity or fanatical conviction, knowing there is no escape. Regardless of the governor's demeanor, the Inquisition's verdict is almost always the same: guilty. There is little room for leniency in the Imperium's harsh justice, especially not at this level. If the investigation has reached this stage, it means the Inquisitor is convinced that allowing this individual to remain in power, or even alive, would pose an unacceptable risk to the Imperium. The sentence typically declared is excommunicate traitoris. With that declaration, the governor is stripped of all authority, titles, and rights in an instant. They are considered an outcast, not only from Imperial service, but from the human race itself. This status marks them for death. Indeed, it is effectively an Imperial death warrant made formal. Often, the Inquisitor will pronounce, "In the name of the Emperor and by the authority of his most holy Inquisition, I declare you excommunicate traitorous. You are henceforth an enemy of mankind." Those words seal the governor's doom. The execution itself may be carried out on the spot, or shortly thereafter. In many accounts, the very moment the damning words are spoken, the Inquisitor, or a trusted acolyte at their side, will draw a weapon and personally deliver the Emperor's justice. A bolt pistol shot ringing out in the council chamber, or the hiss-crack of a plasma pistol, has ended more than one governor's life in mid-protest. It is swift, without ceremony. One instant a planetary lord, the next a lifeless corpse slumped on a marble floor. In other instances, especially if a public example is deemed useful, the governor might be led away in irons to a more visible execution ground. A firing squad of inquisitorial stormtroopers could carry out the sentence at dawn in the palace courtyard, the sharp report of lost guns echoing across the capital as a grim announcement that the heretic leader is no more. In particularly severe cases, say the governor was found to be a demon worshiper or had betrayed billions to Xenos, the punishment can be made an act of public purification. The condemned might be burned at the stake before a crowd, presided over by ecclesiarchy priests leading hymns of penance, so that the entire populace witnesses the price of that governor's sins. The goal in all such executions is not only to punish, but to send an unambiguous message. Neither rank nor status will shield one who betrays the Emperor. The fall of the governor does not mark the end of the Inquisition's involvement. In fact, it often triggers a second phase of purification and restructuring. Immediately following the governor's removal, the Inquisitor moves to neutralize any remaining elements of the old regime that are tainted or pose a threat to stability. The governor's closest advisors, family members, and senior officers are typically rounded up within hours. In the Inquisition's eyes, guilt by association is assumed. Those who were part of the governor's inner circle are suspected of either aiding the treachery or at least failing to report it. Many will face intense interrogation. Under the harsh glare of interrogation lights, or the far harsher scrutiny of a psyker's mind-probing gaze, they will divulge what they know of the heresy. Some may reveal additional conspirators or hidden evidence in hopes of earning clemency, though true mercy is rare. Those found to have been complicit meet the executioner in their turn, whether by a quiet bullet in a dungeon cell or a more public demise if the Inquisitor wishes to make further examples. Even those who are relatively innocent of the primary crime might be removed from their positions, judged too compromised or ineffectual to continue in authority. The Inquisition's purge is thorough. It's not uncommon for entire departments of planetary government to be decimated, dozens of officials dragged out in chains simply because they were infiltrated by the governor's corruption, or they proved too weak to stop it. Concurrently, the planet's governance must be put back together under loyal hands. With its ruler gone and high officials in custody, a power vacuum looms. To prevent chaos, the Inquisitor often appoints or recognizes an interim authority. This might be a trusted imperial official who accompanied the investigation, perhaps a senior adept of the administratum assigned to oversee tithes, or a commissar from the Astra Militarum, someone with the credentials to take charge temporarily. In some cases, the Arbites Marshal on the planet declares a form of martial law, assuming direct control of civil order until a new governor arrives. If Imperial Guard or Space Marine forces were summoned for support, their commanders might assist in stabilizing key infrastructure. The average citizen still going about their life might notice little details that signify the change. Armored Arbites standing guard at the doors of the governor's palace, where once the governor's household troops stood. Officials wearing new armbands stamped with the Aquila, marking them as members of an emergency administration. Daily work continues. Factories churn, agri-farms harvest. But now everything is under the stern supervision of outsiders and loyalists. For the planet's populace at large, The aftermath is a bewildering time. They have just witnessed their highest leader denounced and eliminated as a traitor. Emotions can vary wildly. Some citizens feel vindicated, recalling rumors of the governor's misdeeds and now seeing justice served. Others feel anxiety about the future. Will their lives change under a new regime? Will there be retribution against groups associated, rightly or wrongly, with the heresy? Recognizing the need to quell speculation and fear, the Imperium usually issues some form of public address. Perhaps a day after the execution, Servo Skull drones or Vox hailers broadcast a proclamation in every city and hive. By order of the Inquisition, know that your former governor was found guilty of heresy of the worst degree. His name and deeds are accursed. But fear not, loyal subjects, for the Emperor's justice has been done. Continue your labors and your prayers. Trust in the Imperium's guidance. Those found to have aided the heretic have been punished. Those who are innocent have nothing to dread. Obey the directives of the interim authorities. Glory to the Emperor. This sort of statement serves to both inform and admonish. It assures the masses that the crisis is contained and that life will continue under the Emperor's light, albeit under new stewardship. In the weeks and months that follow, the planet undergoes a process of recovery and adjustment. Administratum envoys will likely arrive to assist in reorganizing the government. A new permanent planetary governor is appointed with great care, possibly a relative of the previous governor who was known to be fiercely loyal to the Imperium, yet untainted by their kin's heresy. Or a completely new noble or general shipped in from off-world to take the mantle. This transition of power is accompanied by visible changes. The former governor's banners and statues are pulled down, sometimes literally smashed to rubble in the public squares as a symbolic purge. The new regime issues edicts to reverse or correct any policies that were part of the heresy. For example, if the old governor had diverted food to a cult, those supplies are now redirected to the people or the imperial tithe as appropriate. The ecclesiarchy may hold masses of thanksgiving that the heretic was defeated and lead the population in prayers of reconsecration for the planet. In certain cases, a period of penance is imposed on the entire world, a higher tithe for a few cycles, or required pilgrimages and parades of penitence, as if to atone collectively for having harbored heresy in their midst. Meanwhile, on a military and security level, new precautions are established. The Planetary Defense Force, which may have been shaken by internal conflict, is reformed. Units that remained loyal might be honored publicly for their service. Units that wavered or sided with the traitor are disbanded or sent to off-world penitential duties. Fresh troops and officers, vetted by the Commissariat or Inquisition, reinforce the planet's defenses to ensure no opportunistic rebellion or external enemy can exploit the recent turmoil. If the threat that spurred the intervention was external, like a genestealer cult preparing for a Tyranid invasion, then alongside the political purge, the Inquisition likely conducts a wider purge of the population, hunting down every member of the Xenos-infected cult. This could mean months of ongoing sweeps through underhives or remote colonies by kill teams, which, while beyond the palace intrigue, become part of the planet's struggle to cleanse itself. The ordinary citizen might see posters or notices about ongoing compliance operations and know that somewhere out in the ash dunes or deep in the sublevels, the fight to fully purify their world continues in the shadows. It must be noted that not every inquisitorial intervention ends neatly with the planet swiftly returning to normalcy. In the most dire cases, the consequences engulf the world entirely. If the Inquisition judges that the governor's corruption was merely one facet of a planet-wide fall, say the populace at large is too tainted by heresy or an alien influence, they may enact the ultimate sanction, exterminatus, This is the eradication of all life on the planet, a measure reserved for worlds too far gone to save. It is a decision made with a heavy heart but cold determination. Better to obliterate a billion lives than allow a contagion of heresy or alien infestation to spread to other worlds. Only the most extreme interventions reach this terminal conclusion, but it has happened in the annals of Imperial history. A governor's folly might unleash a demonic incursion or open the gate to Xenos conquest, and if the situation can't be contained by other means, the Inquisitor will call upon the fleet to unleash hell from above. Orbital bombardment, virus bombs, cyclonic torpedoes. These terrible weapons can transform a thriving hive world into a dead, scorched orb in a matter of hours. This fate is a last resort, and any loyal inhabitants still on the planet are deemed martyrs to the greater safety of humanity. The exterminatus of a world stands as the most drastic example of what an inquisitorial intervention can lead to. The execution not just of a person or a regime, but of an entire planetary society. In the more typical outcome, however, the world survives and moves forward, scarred but still part of the Imperium. Years later, the events that took place become a somber chapter in the planet's history. The date of the governor's downfall might be marked by an annual day of reflection or purification. The new leadership, keenly aware of how close they came to damnation, often governs with extra zeal to prove their loyalty. Production quotas are met or exceeded, religious observances are doubled, and any hint of dissent is swiftly squashed. No one wishes to give the Inquisition reason to return. The planet's nobles and officials will forever remember how swiftly status and power meant nothing when the Inquisition intervened. It instills a cautionary lesson. The higher one's station, the greater the scrutiny that can fall upon you if you betray the Emperor's trust. The ripples of one such intervention spread far beyond a single world. Word of a planetary governor's disgrace and punishment travels across sector communications. Other governors, sector lords, and imperial commanders elsewhere take heed. In the Imperium's feudal hierarchy, the fall of any one peer is noted by the others. Often it triggers a subtle tightening of discipline across the region, a kind of preemptive self-cleansing. After all, if it happened on that world, it could happen here. That is the uneasy realization every governor must have when they hear of an inquisitor unseating a fellow ruler. They might quietly order their staff to re-audit the books, purge any suspect cult influences in their lower halves, or invite an ecclesiarchy confessor to ensure their court's piety is above question. Fear of the Inquisition's attention is, in this way, used as a tool to reinforce compliance and orthodoxy. The Inquisition itself knows this effect well. Making an example of one governor serves to correct the behavior of 100 others who wish to avoid the same fate. In sum, when the Inquisition intervenes against a planetary governor, it is a manifestation of the Imperium's unforgiving ethos. A figure who once held absolute sway over a world is compelled to answer for their stewardship in the harshest terms imaginable. The grim, systemic consequences radiate through every facet of that world society government upheaval, military confrontation, public shock and dread, and sometimes mass bloodshed, all in the name of preserving imperial order. It is a stark drama of power and punishment played out under the gaze of distant Terra and the countless other worlds watching for the outcome. Through this process, the Imperium sends an unmistakable message. No one, not even the highest planetary lord, stands above the judgment of the Emperor and his appointed agents. The mightiest of governors remains but a servant. And should they prove faithless or falter in duty, the Inquisition will descend upon them with relentless resolve. In the wake of such an intervention, a world may bleed, a ruler may fall, and an era may end. but the Imperium endures, its grim justice upheld. The final image is indelible, a grand throne in a palace left empty or in ruins, a once powerful governor, now just another lifeless body, or a name consigned to shame, and above all, the Inquisitor standing victorious amid the aftermath. Duty done, planet secured, and the Imperium's dark justice satisfied for all to see. This is the fate that awaits those who betray the Emperor's trust, and a stark reminder to every corner of the Imperium that the Inquisition's gaze can fall anywhere, at any time, when the price of corruption must be paid in blood.